This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 84 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
And we're going to talk about shows and stuff that we managed to watch. This episode is still being affected by the power outage mayhem.
Yeah, in a number of ways. Because I'll tell you straight up right now, like some of these shows I went to watch on my on-demand, and they weren't there. So like Arrow this week, or from last week when the power was out, just not there. You can look it on demand and it'll be like episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. Yeah. Like 5 is just gone.
Well, for clarification purposes, we're only going to talk about shows that aired up until November 5th.
Yep.
Just so everybody knows.
Yeah.
We're recording this on the 8th. So anything that aired, hey, there's a CMP truck driving by. That's weird. Uh-oh. Anything that was recorded on, well, I don't need you. Go away. But anything that was recorded that has aired since Monday the 6th on, we're not talking about. So anyways, Arrow, I mean, I have the CW app. That's how, because I don't have the cable. So I have the CW app on my Roku. That's how I watch Arrow. And it was on there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that was the other thing, is it was just time. And I know you know about that. You know, there were some things that I didn't have the time between work and not having power. Yeah. So I got a pretty decent chunk of shows that I did watch, but it's nowhere near what we usually do. Hopefully this next coming week we'll be all caught up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could save us some time on Arrow if you'd like. I mean, I still recommend you give it a watch.
Oh, of course I will.
But I'll just say it this way. I'm giving you spoilers now, John.
Now, also remember that you hadn't watched it last week, so we've got to review two episodes.
Correct. I'm all caught up on the last couple days off. I watched both. So I'm caught up on all the DC on CW shows. I watched both Supergirls, both Flashes, both Legends of Tomorrow, and both Arrows. I just watched yesterday.
Excellent. And I'm all caught up other than that one episode of Arrow. So.
Okay. So basically with Arrow, you know what's happened. The last episode we watched, episode 2, which is crazy to think that we're only up to episode 4 on all these shows. But basically John's going to tell, you know, Oliver about his nerve damage, and then he's like, I want you to be the Arrow. And I'm truly shocked to say that we've had 2 episodes of John as the Arrow.
Yeah, shocked and a little disheartened. Yeah, I knew, like, he was going to be in the second one. I just don't know everything that happened.
I figured we'd have one episode of him as the Arrow, but whatever. And then we find out at the and they make him a crossbow.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, because it's so, like, anyways, a gun, so it'll be more tailored to you.
Right. And of course, John's nerve damage is under control. That's because he's taking drugs about it.
Yep. So we're going to make him an addict.
Yeah. So essentially, episode 3 is at the end of it. He's injecting himself and steadying his arm because, you know, in that episode, they worked. Drugs are bad. They worked in that episode together as a team where John has leadership issues he has to address, but they're taking on CIA operatives that are releasing nerve gas damaging people to kill people to hide a cover-up that they stole $1 billion of gold or some shit like that, hundreds of millions of dollars in gold.
You know, that old story.
It wasn't a good episode. No. Let's just put it that way.
No, it was an Arrow episode.
Exactly. Episode 4 follows suit. In this one, we bring back Caden James. Remember that when Felicity and the team helped Helix release Caden James, break him out of the high
security
he was in? Okay. Well, Caden James is Linus. Michael
Emerson.
Michael Emerson, thank you.
Oh, I love
him. He played – so, yeah, that's kind of cool. But unfortunately, he was arrowed, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so the show opens up with Laurel. Seems to be – Laurel is there killing people. We don't know why. Turns out that – this is amazing. It turns out the three people she killed include one of them who's a kid, like a teenager. And they don't show us – they don't show her being killed. They just show the adults. Apparently, these people all have access – to the global internet infrastructure.
Okay.
I'm getting a phone call you're probably going to get here in a couple minutes. Yeah, they all have access to this, you know, and they're going to take down the internet. So this is all about Caden James and his team wanting to take down the internet, allegedly. And they need the fingerprints of these three people because the three of them can access the big server room at once type of crap.
Okay.
Of course, they stop them.
Well, yeah.
That's about it.
They want to take down the internet because they're tired of people looking at porn?
I don't know. The International Domain Name Directory is what they want, to take down.
Gotcha.
Because that'll cause the internet to crash.
Yep. Makes sense. Solid plan.
There's a big battle at the directory, which, of course, several hard drives get destroyed.
Naturally.
Because you know they would.
Yeah.
And but they saved the day. But in the end, it's just Caden James is like, oh, well, I just needed the firewall taken down, see? And I got Fulton to do that for me, see? Because her digital fingerprints attached to that, see?
Man.
Yeah. And so and Felicity and Mr. Terrific startup company that they want to do, that they've been talking about, came up with the name. Helix.
Okay.
Apparently they're gonna create this company together. You know about that, right?
Yeah.
They talked about it for the first three episodes. Yeah. But they didn't know what they were gonna do or what they were gonna call it. And so this whole backstory is, oh, what are we gonna call it? So at the end they decided they're gonna call it Helix, and apparently Elena there, the girl that worked for Helix, the underground hacker group, said, oh, you should mass produce your spinal implant to help people walk. And so Felicity's like, oh my God, that's a great idea.
It took somebody on the outside to tell her that?
Yeah, so that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that has to do with Helix how?
Yeah, that's the name of their group they're going to call themselves.
Okay.
Their name of their company they're going to call themselves is Helix because it's a cool name.
So it's just the cool name thing.
Oh, it has nothing to do with them exactly. They're just stealing the name.
Gotcha.
Oh, and also Curtis made a device to track the sound waves of Laurel's canary cry.
Because of course he did.
He went all Cisco on her. However, by the end of the episode, Caden James gives her a device that will prevent him from tracking her.
Dun, dun, dun. So
they've done away with that in that one episode.
Wow.
Basically, it's 45 minutes of who gives a fuck, followed up by, at the very end, Slade calls Oliver and says he needs his help.
Yes. Oliver,
I got to go. So
I've seen the preview for the next one.
To tomorrow's episode.
Yeah.
As Deathstroke returns, and actually that's the name of the title, as a matter of fact.
Deathstroke returns.
Yeah. And, you know, so it'll be someplace else. Oliver's going to be off being a fighter, but not Green Arrow or whatever.
Right.
And, yeah. So.
Well, that's exciting.
I'm actually kind of excited about it, yeah.
Yeah, because Deathstroke was cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing him. I'm hoping he's not going to be – like the whole story is you got to help me get my son. And I'm hoping that it's not going to be a toothless Deathstroke. You know, that it'll be like he'll be full force like, I'm ready to kill. And
yeah, that's what I'm hoping for too.
Yep.
But real quick, they did release a teaser trailer. I have not watched it yet, but it's for – November 27th starts the Crisis on Earth X 4 episode crossover.
Okay.
Monday, November 27th. It starts with Supergirl at 8 o'clock that night. They moved Arrow for one night only, to Monday night at 9. So it's going to go Supergirl, Arrow, and then Flash, and conclude on Legends. So it'll be a 2-night, 4-episode event thing.
Gotcha.
They released a trailer. I did not watch it. I saw the still of them all standing around together. Spoiler, Oliver's dressed up as Green Arrow. John's dressed as the Guardian.
You mean Spartan?
I mean Spartan, yeah. So timeline-wise, I don't know if they're going to say it, you know, when it took place, if it takes place, you know, in, you know, but whatever. So, you know, there you go. So gotcha. At least by episode 8, he's going to be Arrow, back to being Arrow.
Yeah. It's not surprising at all.
Yeah.
Like, so. At all.
Yep. Anywho.
Yeah.
So that was Arrow. I mean, watch it, but it was, it was what it was.
Yep. I'll catch up on it eventually.
Yeah. So you're caught up on Supergirl, you said, though.
Yes, I am.
All right. So go. What'd you think?
Well, again, are we talking 2 episodes? I forget. Had you watched the original one?
No, I literally had not watched any of the DC shows last week.
So, the first talk
about them being on Mars.
Yeah, it was the Daddy Issues episode, basically.
Yes, basically yes.
Because you had John Jones discovers that, you know, there's one Green Martian left other than him, and it's his dad. And he's been trapped here and, like, tortured for thousands of years or something. Centuries, at least.
Isolation, yeah.
Yeah, and so he doesn't believe that it's Sean, and then by the end he does, because, you know, we have to wrap it up in 42 minutes. And it was an okay episode, because then that part was okay. The whole flying car thing was kind of funny. But the whole Maggie and her father thing, like, basically she has this tragic backstory where as soon as she dated a girl for the first time, her parents threw her out on the street. Well, threw her out at her aunt's house. They were like, her dad drove her to her aunt's house and was like, "You're dead to me." And that was it. She was like a teenager.
Yeah, when she came out to her parents, it didn't go well.
Yeah, well, she didn't even really come out. It was the other girl's parents who, like, called them and was like, "Oh, my girl is innocent and your girl was kissing her." And she's like, "Yeah, I like girls." And yeah. So now it's years later and they're like, "Oh, but we're going to have the wedding and, you know, my mom's here, so we should have your dad no matter what." Again, one of these pushing type things, you know.
Yeah.
"I think I know what's right for you. We should have your dad here. He'll understand. It's been years and dad does not understand." Like, he seems like he's going to.
He shows up.
Yep, he does show up.
So they give you that false belief of, "Hey, you know, mom's not there, but dad's there. He wants to let bygones be bygones. Like, he wants to have a relationship with his daughter." So you think it's going to go well.
Yeah. Until the first time he sees them kiss, and then he's like, "Nope, out of here." And his reasoning was so convoluted as to why he didn't like it.
He basically doesn't like gay people is what it comes down to.
Well, it's not just that, but he bases it on his own persecution when he was younger. He's like, they picked on me, they ripped on me, and I rose above and I made a name for us, and now you're destroying that name by letting people pick on you and rip on you because you're gay.
Right, he doesn't like gay people, is what it comes to.
Yep.
His justification is, when he was a kid, he got beat up and called a wetback and insulted and whatnot. And then he rose up and they elected him as their sheriff, so he proved them wrong somehow. Yep. And she's spitting in the face of all that because she's decided to be gay.
Yep.
That is the dumbest reasoning ever.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, it's just like they couldn't think up of anything to say and without them just saying, like, "I don't like gay people."
Right.
The logic does
not track in this one.
Not at all. It's completely convolutedly stupid.
Yep.
But anyhow, so the Green Martians.
Okay episode.
Green Martians help the White Martians, you know, make sure they don't get this powerful, you know, mythical staff that can kill and destroy all, which, of course, they find it. And then Supergirl uses it to stop to help the resistance stop the bad guys, the Staff of Kolar.
Yes.
And long and the short, White Martians are continuing the resistance, and John Jones and Papa Jones, they're back on Earth together.
Papa Jones. It's like Papa Jones.
Yeah. Papa Jones is some, like, the reason why he was kept alive is because of his knowledge of this staff.
Yeah.
And the reason why they reached out to John Jones to come to Mars was because of hopefully he could get through to their dad. So basically, you know, McGann knew about John Jones' dad being alive but didn't tell him. That yep. never surfaced in the episode.
You know it's going to come up, though.
Probably at some point. Yeah. But anyways, regardless, Papa Jones and John Jones are together on Earth. The White Martians are continuing the resistance. The White Martians said, you take the Staff of Kolar with you because it's too powerful for anyone to have here.
Yeah.
So that'll probably be a thing later on.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
But, yeah. Oh, and, you know, Maggie doesn't want kids.
Yeah. And that seems to be, like, the running theme that they want to keep going with over and over.
Oh, and they beat the crap out of that in episode 4.
I was going to say, because when we get to the next episode, that's what it's all about. And I get it.
This is, okay, Supergirl has always done a good job, in our opinion. We've talked about tackling kind of quote-unquote real, relatable issues.
Yep.
Especially with their relationship and this and that and everything, how it's portrayed. And then I feel like we take a step back with when we find out why Alex's dad doesn't approve or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just because, you know, he has no feet to stand on. He's just a bigot, basically.
Yep.
But then they bring it back with this episode with the revelation of the children thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they handled well.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciated it. It was well done. It wasn't just like, you know, a typical after-school special kind of, you know, oh, I want kids, I don't want kids. Okay, well, I'll do it for you. It's a legitimate sticking point for them. And
yep.
Both of them have their own views. You know, Alex goes off on her little thing where she's like, you know, I want all the stuff that Mom had with us. I want to be able to scold them. I want to be able to hug them when they have a nightmare. I want to be able to do this and this, be there for their school plays and stuff. Because they have that little touching moment where girls' night, you know, turns into let's go see this person who we just met her, but now suddenly we're best friends. Let's go see her daughter perform in the school talent show type thing.
And that was not good singing.
No, that was not good singing.
To be a jerk, that was not good singing.
But yeah, so Alex basically has a little bit of a breakdown where she's like, this is what I want. And if Maggie really doesn't, which Maggie really doesn't, it's not.
Right.
It's kind of like the whole Valentine's thing from the year before.
Yeah.
You know, where she kind of came around to it, but that's just celebrating a holiday. This is a major life thing. And she's like, no, I don't want kids. So Alex is like, I don't know if I can have a relationship with her because this is what I want. She wants something completely different.
Right. It's like to relate to it for me, like when I first got divorced back in 2012, I did not want to have any more kids. I was done. I made the decision. I was done. I wasn't going to have any more kids. And when I met Kate, you know, she was like, I want to have at least one kid. And so that was something we really had to discuss and think about. Like, do we want to even take any steps further in this relationship? Because if I absolutely do not want to have kids and she absolutely does want to have kids, then it's not going to work.
Right.
You know, and I know you can relate to that as well.
Absolutely.
Whereas once I decided, you know what, Kate's level-headed. You know, there was a multitude of reasons why I was like, I decided I would have a child with her. And so, you know, we got married. We have a kid. Well, now to kind of go to the Valentine's Day thing, Kate doesn't want Wesley to believe in Santa Claus because she didn't when she was a kid. She was never led to believe there was such a thing as Santa Claus or whatever. And she thinks it's stupid. I'm all for, you know, perpetuating the lie. But in this case, I was like, you know what? I got to do it for my first two, whatever. So it wasn't, you know, that, you know what I mean? So like, that's a different battle,
yep.
Obviously, but that was just trying to relate to it, to the show, I guess. But anyways. Yeah. Yeah. We get a rare flashback episode of Supergirl where at the beginning it shows her saving Alex on the plane crash. And a passenger named Thomas, Koval, it says here, witnessed her on the plane and basically created a cult worshiping her.
And again, this was done very believably.
It really was.
It was not like a out of left field, you know, oh, we're going to do this. Like, he legitimately was talking about how she's essentially a god among people and how she has touched all of their lives. If it wasn't for her, they'd be dead, you know.
Yeah.
She saved us, etc.
Yep. However, he then finds a space probe.
Yep.
That somehow he managed to find and hide all these years. And basically what it is it's kind of like we've sent out like messenger probes that have samples of Earth and culture and religion and this and that. And this is the same type of thing from Krypton that landed on Earth at some point that he found.
Yep.
So he has like a Kryptonian Bible that he read or was read to. And this is the basis of his belief.
Yep.
And the thing also apparently has a giant bomb attached to it.
Yeah, for some reason.
Or what it was is whatever it was made out of when it combined with Earth, it makes it unstable, like it's going to explode and blah, blah, blah. So they do some unrealistic means to find this bomb. Of course, this is where the guy is now a David Koresh, Charles Manson type cult leader, yes. Where he's like, oh, put yourself in danger so she can rescue you because then yep. You're chosen. Or like, oh, we're going to blow this bomb up at this stadium because she'll rescue everyone. It'll be fine.
Right. This is what she does.
Yeah. Right. And then, you know, the kryptonite from the Earth being in the bomb, the kryptonite affects her abilities. She cuts her hand open to show that she's bleeding.
Yep.
Which was a smart move, by the way.
It was, yeah.
Everyone finally flees, and then they can't deactivate the bomb, even when they get the kryptonite away from her. So literally the only thing she can do, which she can't fly, she can't throw it, but apparently she can burn a big old friggin' hole in the ground.
Yep.
And they drop it in there and it explodes, and everyone lives happily ever after. Thomas goes off to jail, and in a surprising turn, Kara visits him. And he, when she had confronted him once before, asked Kara, he was like, I know you're Supergirl.
Yep.
Which
he's like, I looked into the eyes of God. I will never forget that.
Exactly. So that's his reasoning for being able to see beyond the glasses. but he's basically like, oh, no, I'm put on this earth to help you find your way. Yep. So, like, he's not going to tell anyone. He's cool being in jail, and he's going to continue to pray to her. So he really is. He's a true believer.
Yep. Could be dangerous, yeah. Though.
Could be dangerous zealots, down the line. You know. Yeah. Could be dangerous down the line. But I don't know. I know this. Aaron vehemently hates this show, but Aaron also likes things I don't like. So
doesn't he also hate Lethal Weapon?
Yeah, he does. Which too bad. Seems wrong. Yeah, you know, I haven't watched an episode of that. I feel like in a couple weeks. Has it not been on?
It has not been on.
All right, so at least that's why it's not showing up on my Hulu.
Yeah.
Jumping right into Legends of Tomorrow, keeping the party rolling. Last episode we talked about was Freak Show. So we're going up to Seattle, 2042, where Gary from the Time Bureau sends a distress signal.
Gary.
I love the name, actually.
Yep.
And anyways, so the team shows up, and essentially Seattle's under martial law by Argus, so we get a little Argus cameo.
Yeah.
And apparently they're hunting down and experimenting on metahumans.
Yep.
And they find hacktivist, is it Zari?
Yep.
She's Muslim. She's a lying piece of trash, basically, for the whole episode, where all she does is lie to them, up, down, left, right, center. And, they invited her to stay on the ship after.
I know. She basically, like, screws them over, lies to them constantly, and they're like,
constantly.
You're our kind of gal. Come with us. We need another crew member for some reason.
Yeah. She has an amulet or totem or whatever like Amara does.
Yep.
But she doesn't get animal powers.
No.
She can like fly. She has like weather. Is it weather she's controlling with that? They haven't really said, but it looks like it. She can fly with it.
Yeah, yeah. I got the impression that it was like weather or something.
Yeah. So, funny part on the show, is when Nate and Amari take a powerful Zambezi hallucinogen.
Yeah, that was interesting. Because she needs to get her powers under control and talk to her ancestors.
Right, who basically says, like, oh, just go with it.
Yeah.
Trust in
it's
them.
It's all right.
Yeah. And he goes through a comedy of errors himself.
Hmm.
So it was okay.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, and we get a showdown with Sharp again, and Sarah. Yeah. So yeah. They play chicken with spaceships in the time loop. Sarah wins. Yeah. Sharp's like, I'm going to arrest you next time I find you. She could easily find them. Like, that's the most ridiculous part of it, let's just say.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the episode ends in 1988 when young Ray encounters I don't know what, which rolls right into the next episode, which was he found a baby Dominator. Because at the beginning of the episode, Ray's talking to Rory about doing a trust fall. And, of course, when Rory goes to fall, Ray disappears.
Mm-hmm. But only for a short amount of time.
Right. He comes back later because, oh, he's dead. Oh, maybe not yet. Oh, you know what it was? They went back in time before he died, so he reappeared.
Right, which was really that some weird time loopy kind of stuff.
But that kind of makes sense.
Yep.
They went back in time before he died because where they were, he was dead. And then when they went back in time before he died, he somehow reappeared because he hadn't died yet, so he's still there. I mean, he still dies, but I guess now the possibility of it can change because they're before that.
Yeah.
So that's iffy, but yep. Okay. It yep. works.
It shows that they're trying to think a little bit more about time travel and
yeah.
the way that it works, I guess.
I still like Rory.
Yes.
I like good guy Rory that we're seeing, you know, like when everyone's out there and we think that Gray is being deceitful and whatnot, what it turns out is that he's just, you know, and this is where they screw up time-related things. His daughter's going to give birth to their first grandchild. And, by the way, they're an acronym, incidentally. And anomaly, I mean. And what's the word they use?
Anachronism.
Not acronym. Oh, anachronism. So I was close the first time. They're in anachronism to begin with.
They're in Akron, Ohio.
Exactly. So the Time Bureau should know all about it. But anyways like, he could just pop back there at any time.
Right.
Because he's in a time ship. You know, like, she's like, Dad. Oh, because he creates a fucking FaceTime that can go through time. Okay?
I kind of wondered about that, too. I'm like, why is he bothering with all this when he could literally just pop in and out?
Yeah, he literally can just, like, whenever he wants to, oh, let's go see my granddaughter being born today, guys. And then yeah. they can go there.
And now let's and go see it again. Happen. And now let's yeah. go see it again. And now right, let's right. pop in exactly. when she's three. And
yeah. But anyways, regardless, so it's Rory's idea to take the Wave Rider and leave a note.
Yeah.
So that was kind of – that's kind of what I liked about it.
Yeah.
So I like how Ray is relayed – not he's portrayed in this episode to be just completely naively good his whole life. And yeah. he's now realizing that these two guys that he thought were his friends when he was a kid – they were actually bullies to yeah. him, picking on him.
They're picking on you. No, those are my friends.
Yeah. Nope. And then as they drive away, like, can't believe he thinks we're friends.
Yeah.
Just to sell the point home that they're not. But I digress. It's
it once again though, with this show, they can't just it's gotta be overly cheesy. It's yep. gotta be overly ridiculous with some of this stuff. So yep. for instance, in this case, you know, we've got the baby Dominator. Now, when the Dominators came down, they kind of wrecked everybody. You know, they had yeah. mind control, and they mind controlled everybody easily. Like, it wasn't yeah. like, oh, it takes one Dominator per person. They just – they wiped out all their brains. And right. now they're just like, nope, they're just physically fighting. You know, they're not going to yeah. use their mental powers. We're just going to beat them up. And then the overly cheesy part is when they decide that they have to escape – with the baby Dominator wrapped in a blanket, in a basket, on a bike, and then it decides to use its telekinetic powers to raise the bike up in the sky, and we get a little E.T. moment, and I just groaned. It was ridiculous.
I thought the groaning would be the singing in the rain dance part.
The singing in the rain was kind of ridiculous, but this, you know, it's kind of like that episode with George Lucas where they kept saying George Lucas every time George Lucas was on screen and they wanted to let you know that it was George Lucas, so they'd say George Lucas. And that's like the simplified version. But yeah. that's what this felt like was, you know, oh, look, we've got an opportunity. Let's say that this is what E.T. was based on.
Yeah. Yeah, I picked up on the same thing, thought it was dumb. I thought the singing in the rain thing was dumb. Who are these people, though? This government agency there, if you will.
I don't know. Is this like the early version of Argus? Is it the early version of the Time Bureau?
They don't really say. They're just there. And they're dressed like Men in Black type of thing.
So I'm wondering if they're going to be a foil down the road or if it was just meant to be generic shit.
They're just they might as well just had signs on their chest that said henchmen.
Yeah. You know? Henchman number one, henchman number two.
But I wonder if this Dominator thing will come back to them in the end. Like they'll run into the Dominators again, but this one Dominator won't hurt them because it's the baby Dominator and he recognizes them.
Right.
Well, I wonder if that'll play into effect later. But at the end, Jax asks Ray to help figure out a way to split Firestorm so Stein can stay with his wife and kid and grandkid and have a normal life.
Yeah.
Which, because the actor playing Stein is supposed to be leaving the show.
So that would make sense.
Yeah. So, which, I mean, I don't know. Firestorm is one person seems better because Gray's old. I mean, they got to figure out a way to disconnect him at some point because what if he dies?
But don't forget, too, that originally Robbie Amell was the other half of Firestorm. And they found Jax was compatible. So it could just be that they're going to look for somebody else who's compatible with Jax or something.
Okay. Maybe. You know,
and then we'll get something weird in there. Like, it would be odd if they had, like, a female that Jax found attractive type of thing. Or if they had, like, a sassy older woman or – I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
Either way.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Flash. Let's finish out the show. So, episode 3, we get Becky Sharp, the most unlucky woman in the world, who gets all kinds of luck.
Yep.
So, I found her unluckiness to be hilarious.
Yes.
By the way.
Yes. Comically portrayed to a very good effect.
Yes. And then her luck to be... When everyone else was unlucky because of other luck around them, Flash slipping on marbles.
Funny. Yeah.
I can't think of his name now. Dad's name. All I can think of is Joe.
Yes. I wanted to say Jesse L. Martin.
Exactly. Jesse L. Martin. When Joe's house starts falling apart.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. Yeah. Except when they almost got electrocuted.
Right. Because it got worse and worse.
Right. At the end, when Cecile told Joe that she was pregnant, and he just kind of did that freeze face, and then they cut away, at first I thought, they can do a fucking heart attack. No, they just went for comedy effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I enjoyed this episode. We learned about how the metas – Oh, I know. We didn't learn in this episode. We did learn in this episode how the metas came to be, what happened. And it was when they pulled Flash out of the Speed Force, hit a bus, and that's how it made those 12 people into metahumans that were on the bus.
Yep. But it seems like the thinker there kind of had a plan for this and knew that it was going to happen at that spot with those people, et cetera.
Yep. And so that makes – at least they've explained it to us finally. Like, I didn't know how long they were going to hold that mystery because, like, with the last episode, the guy's like, I'm not the only one. So it makes it seem like they're all evil. No, they're not. You're just a douche. Yep. So we don't know how the others are going to be. And because not – you know, think about it. You hit 12 random people. They all can't be scum. Well, then again, if the thinker set it up, he could have made sure those 12 random people ended up on that bus and ended up that way. So that's a possibility.
Yeah, could.
If he's that smart, or that, you know, he could have maybe, I don't know, regardless. Right. Harry shows up with a breakup box, which I think it's hilarious.
That they're incorporating other universes. You know, we got the 111 day from Earth 19, and now he's like, you guys don't have breakup boxes on this planet?
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. Yeah. What, you guys don't have these? Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. These are so common. You just break like that. He goes, and then the breakup box fails.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what did she say? Oh, I don't know. Don't you have perfect recall? Yes, I do.
Yeah. He's just like, yes, I do. Like, leave me alone.
Did you tell me what it said? No, I really can't. And then Wally disappears in this episode.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that at the end of the episode, Wally says, you guys were battling, you know, like this, all this big thing happened, da da da, and no one noticed I wasn't there. I did. Through the whole episode, I kept going, where's Wally?
Right.
Where's Wally? Where's Wally?
For the past 6 months, he's been the Flash.
Yeah. Why isn't Wally around? Why has no one mentioned where's Wally? Maybe they all know where he is. So that was kind of dumb. But he went to Earth 2 to talk to Jesse. We just don't get to see it. And basically, he decides, yeah, we should be broken up, I guess. So he's going to go away.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to break up. So I'm just going to go to another part of this world as well. Like, I can't be in Central City.
Yeah, he's got to – yeah, so whatever. He's going to leave and go to – did he say where he was going?
No. But it's,
but he said, I'm a speedster. I can be back here anytime. Because Joe's sad. Like, I don't want to lose my son.
Right.
Yeah. But that's cool. That's fine. It happens.
Yep.
Basically, I don't know about this, but regardless, it doesn't matter. The Star Labs is going to, like, explode again. And, you know, the I can't think of what it's called, dude. Help me out here.
Dark matter?
Thank you. The dark matter particle accelerator is going to explode again, and it's going to send it over the city again, but they say, oh, no, we're going to let it happen.
Right. Because
the only thing it's going to do is neutralize the big, bad, unlucky bubble that's coming off of her.
Yeah, but it was something – I had a problem with that at first, too, but they said something about it. Like, it didn't have something. Like, it was missing one part of it.
So all it did was deactivate her metahuman power, apparently?
I think so, yeah.
Like, that's what it – but so, like, would it have done anyone else's metahuman – whoever got – like, anyone else that was affected from that on the bus, would it – if they were in the blast zone of the particle accelerator, would it have also deactivated their new metahuman powers, I wonder?
Maybe.
And neutralized hers.
It did, yeah.
Yep. But anyway,
be interesting to find out. Like, if other metahumans in the area just suddenly it stopped working, they're like, whoa, wait a minute.
Anyway, so we find out that the Thinker has been spying on Flash and his team because the Samuroid helmet is sitting perfectly in the corner facing them all, and he has a camera on it.
Which, have none of them, especially Cisco, ever seen any movie ever?
Right.
Wouldn't they think that, hey, this robotic samurai head with optical stuff in it would probably be best served put in like a lead-lined box?
Right.
Far away. Don't put it in the corner of the room facing the entire room for us to see. That really seems dumb.
Yeah. No, it does seem dumb, yeah. Episode 4, I enjoyed this episode thoroughly because Danny Trejo was in it and it was funny. He plays Breacher, Gypsy's father.
Yes.
And he basically, the long and the short of it, he shows up. And then after trying to get to know Cisco, he decides, I'm going to hunt you and kill you in 24 hours. Would you like a head start? I'm going to count down now. And Cisco runs. And Gypsy's
No. Dude, do the countdown justice because he's like 10.
Yeah.
And then they start talking a little bit. And then he's like, yeah, blah, 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 9. Blah, blah, blah.
Are you really counting down right now?
Yeah, it takes him a few numbers before he says that. And then at one point, he's like, 5. And he goes, you skipped 6. I know. 4. He's like, ah!
And he takes off. And then Gypsy's coming back with, like, tea and realizes, oh, he's hunting him.
Yeah.
Like, this is normal. During the countdown conversation, has anyone – he goes, what happens to the people when you hunt them? I don't know. What happens to people when they die?
Yeah.
Where do they go? I don't know. Where do people go when they die? But, like, everything Cisco does is wrong. Like, he brings him a cup of coffee. We don't have coffee on my planet because some travesty destroyed everything and it all centered around coffee.
An alien race invaded and destroyed all the coffee crops forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, just whatever it was. And, you know, like, when Breacher's being introduced to everybody, he's like, fellow lawman, I have respect for you. Oh, Barry. Yeah. It's just goes assistant. Like... Ah, it was good. It was good stuff.
Yeah. The now, let's also not forget that in this one, we finally got the elongated man.
Yes, we get – and he was also on the bus. Ralph – was it Derby?
Dibney.
Yeah, Ralph Dibney. Yeah.
And they, what a schmuck.
Okay. This is the thing that I have a problem with a little bit. Barry has problems with Dibney because he's a corrupt son of a bitch. But when in fact what he did was is he – planted evidence on a guy that was guilty that they couldn't catch, but everyone knew he was guilty, okay? That, it makes it sound like he did more worse things, but that's what he did.
Not it makes it sound like he belongs in Gotham, and really it was one instance.
Right, and Barry, you know, took him down.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. Dibney is such a flop sweat, like...
schlub.
Schlub that it doesn't fit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when he's blackmailing the mayor.
Are you blackmailing me to not blackmail me? Right. Yes, I guess I am.
That seems like that. You know what this guy reminded me of? And it's not the same guy, but it's the guy in How I Met Your Mother that every time he gets an erection, he gets a nosebleed.
Yes, exactly. Yes, Will Forte.
Yeah.
Okay, playing as, what was his name? His last name was Wampus.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't think of his first name. But that's who I kept thinking it was as I'm watching the episode. Like, that's – and it wasn't him, but that's who I kept thinking it was. If his corruptness would have been he foolishly blackmailed somebody or something, that would make more sense. But the what he got fired for being a corrupted officer for does not fit how he is now or who he is now or what he does. Because he's just such a doofus, you know?
Yep.
He's a goofball. But it's funny.
It is.
I like him as a character. I just don't like what they got kicked him – what he got kicked off the force for or whatever.
Yes. No, I agree.
I love how much he hates Barry. And the whole episode is like, oh, Barry, you and your perfect life. And he keeps learning new things about Barry as it goes. Like, oh, you're with Joe's daughter? How did you get someone so attractive? Like, everything, everything. And then when Barry reveals that he's the Flash, he's like, of course you're the Flash.
I liked the Flash.
He's like, I like the Flash. And no, I can't. Everyone else that gets struck by lightning dies, but not you. You get the Flash. Like,
I like how he was like talking to him and he's like, you're going to need a code name. And he's like, what do you think about Plastic Man? I hate it. Yeah, Cisco comes up with an ace.
Yeah, I hate it. I think that's terrible. So, but, but see, this is the prime example of someone who was on the bus that is not a piece of crap. Like, he's got a sketchy past, but it's not that sketchy.
Right.
But in the end, like, you know.
He wants to do the right thing, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what he does when he – well, you're right. Like he says, when he gives him the pictures, he's like, just keep the money. Take the pictures. Well, you're not going to blackmail me. No, I'm not. But then, like, he does blackmail.
But if you ever do this again, you know, I'll still have these pictures. So, wait, you're blackmailing me to not blackmail me? I don't get it. And he's like, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought it was a good episode.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. And then, of course, Cisco with Harry's guy – because Harry's sticking around, apparently, which I'm happy. I'm a fan of because I like this version of Harry.
Yes, I do as well. He's the best version as far as I can tell.
Absolutely. So I'm glad he's going to be sticking around more permanently this season, I hope. But anyways, so Cisco basically uses his smarts and skills to prevent Breacher from killing him.
Right.
And by standing up to him. Yep. To protect things he believes in. When Breacher goes after Ralph because he thinks he's a Plastoid.
Yes, and those were the ones who invaded his world and destroyed coffee.
Exactly, yeah. So when Cisco stands up for him and stops him, whatever, then Breacher gets some respect for him. And then at the end, when they're getting ready to leave,
hold on. Love
it. When they're getting ready to leave, he's like, oh, we've got a da-da-da. Come on, Cynthia, let's go. Your name is Cynthia? It's Cynthia? You know, because he had asked her earlier and she wouldn't tell him.
Yep.
And then she threatens him, so he calls him Gypsy. He's like, wait a second. If your name's Cynthia, what's your name? Josh. I died laughing.
Josh and Cynthia.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. But Ralph reveals the guy that hired him to investigate the mayor being an adulterer was DeVoe.
Yes.
The same DeVoe that Abracadabra and Savitar had mentioned previously.
Yep, which was cool to see the throwback. And
yes, exactly. And after not addressing Caitlin's backstory issues in the previous episode, at the end of this episode, she comes home and finds a note message on her door, but I don't know what it was.
No.
I didn't see it or read it. So. Right. Because, you know, she still has the Killer Frost tendencies and she still has her backstory going on that they haven't dove into. So.
Right, yeah.
But this week's episode looks really good with them at the bar. I mean, yep. You know, very drunk somehow. Yep. I'd like to see how they figured that one out and just everything else. So, I don't know.
It should be fun.
I'm looking forward to this episode.
Yep.
So that covers all the DC stuff, which way longer than I thought we were going to talk about those, but that works. Especially seeing how I wasn't sure what we're going to have to talk about, period, going forward to today. Do you want to talk about Inhumans? Or you just want to say fuck it?
I want to say fuck Inhumans. I watched, okay. I've seen 7 out of the 8 episodes and fuck this show.
Yeah, I'll finish it at some point to finish it, but it's not a high priority for me right now.
No, I'm just happy that it's almost done. Yeah. I feel like this was a big swing and a miss from Disney Marvel Studios. And
and again, this was supposed to be a movie.
Yeah. This was on their docket to be a feature-length movie. And I don't know if like they got a completely different crew when they switched it over to be a TV series. And said, you know, like, okay, we're going to scrap whatever it was in the movie and do this. Or what happened. But this is ridiculous.
Yeah. 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 By the way, on The Gifted, I just kind of put two and two together that the Sentinel Services agents are SS agents.
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem wrong?
It kind of does, but yeah. I think that they're saying that enough time has passed that I guess.
But they're essentially doing the same thing.
Yeah. Alliteration is a big thing. So, you know, they could have been like the Sentinel Bureau, and it just doesn't have the same ring to it, I guess.
Oh, no, it doesn't. It does not. No, I agree with that. But I don't know. I just I don't know. Throwing that out there. Regardless, though, The Gifted.
Yep.
Basically, they've rescued everyone. They bring them back to the underground. And, you know, with reason, no one recognizes – someone recognizes Reed and no one trusts him. But that makes sense because he prosecuted them for so long.
Okay.
And – I'm sorry. Did you watch it?
No, I haven't watched it yet, but go ahead.
Sure. I don't have to talk about it.
No, that's fine.
All right. I forgot. So basically he – the Sentinel Services agents are moving in on where they are. Like they've set up this perimeter and they're just checking it and they're moving it inward the whole way. So they're eventually going to find where this compound is. And so Reed goes out and lures them all away. He uses himself as bait to lure them all away. And that's how he kind of proves themselves to the rest of the mutants because, hey, you know, he wants to save his kids and protect his kids and everything.
Yep.
On the other side of things, Polaris confronts the girl that stuck the fake memory in her head. Because she sees him, she sees her do it to some. She sees
Polaris does or do Blink it. Does.
Sorry, Blink does. My okay. Apologies. Blink confronts her. She sees her do it to somebody else, and she's starting to doubt the memory herself. So she confronts her about it, and she says, "Yes, I put that in there because we had to." And then she is rightfully so pissed off.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't want to ruin this one for you.
Okay.
Yeah, I really don't want to ruin this one for you. You kind of need to watch it.
works for me. I'm planning on it. It's on my list of must watch versus, and I'll throw that on the back.
We'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
Yeah. So what else did you watch, John?
Well, I watched the comedy duo that we love so much, Superstore and The Good Place.
Yeah. Those were great this week.
They really were. Superstore gave us the health plan.
Oh, God.
Which was hilarious. And I loved, at one point, the guy from the warehouse is just like, look, it's simple. All you have to do is make it affordable and fully covering and really good for all of us and cheap.
Yep.
They're like, oh, gee, that's simple. Yeah, why didn't we just do that?
Right, exactly. No, they essentially start out with this like you said, like they find out that their insurance – not they find out, but their insurance sucks. People can't go get medical coverage or medical help because they can't afford it.
Yeah.
Because they have like a $4,000 deductible, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of it, Dina makes comment about, you know, a mole that she had removed. And Glenn's like, oh, somebody had – you know, like he was trying to make a joke about plastic surgery.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, well, it was cancerous and now I'm cancer free.
Yep.
And so he
it was scary. It was touch and go there for a minute, but now we're all set.
Yeah. And then he starts questioning a mole that he has on his penis, on the underside of his penis. And we go through a hilarious montage of him trying to get through the auto recording system to get to a person because he won't. So they keep saying, tell us what you want. Tell us why you want to talk to a dermatologist. And it's a recording. And he can't even bring himself to say penis to a female voice recording.
Right. Yeah.
Or that he has a mole on his penis. Can I get a man recording? Like, it's – yeah. That was hilarious. And then eventually he tells Dina, like, she – you know, like, just – he tells Dina. And then once he finally does get an appointment, it's not for, like, 6 months. So he tells Dina, who convinces – and through a series of events – he decides he's going to show Dina his mole because she's like, yeah, let me see it. But then he realizes he can't just take his pants off in front of her. So he puts up like – he basically makes a glory hole.
Yeah, yeah. He puts up a cloth and stands behind it. And then he's very specific. He's like, I'm going to pretend that it's not me back here, but it's a shorter employee and you can't see him.
But
and I'm not going to talk
right
to him.
Behind them. Yeah. Yeah.
And he won't say a word, and I'm not going to talk to him. And she's like, wow, okay, yep.
Whatever. I've seen plenty of penises. And so he sticks his penis through the hole, and it's digitized, but you can see it flopping around and stuff, which is kind of hilarious. And so, like, she goes like, well, I don't see anything. It's on the underside. So she goes to lift it up. Don't touch it. Well, how much am I going to see underneath it? So she grabs a pen. He's like, oh, not that pen. I write paychecks. I sign paychecks for that.
Right.
So she grabs a pencil and lifts his penis up. And then, it's not
Garrett.
Glenn. Garrett, thank you. Garrett opens the door to get his eval. And he's like, Glenn's penis. Glenn's penis. Glenn's penis. And he just rolls away.
Yep.
And then Dina I got to send a picture of this to my derm to see what they have to say. So she takes a picture of it and sends it away. And then later on, they're sitting there at the office together. And she gets a response. Oh, my derm says it's fine. Nothing to worry about. And then basically he's like, oh, but I have this to blackmail you with now. A picture of your penis on my phone. And she shows him the phone and it's digitized out. I mean, it was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. And then there was a complicated Ponzi scheme health thing going on.
Right. This is the pyramid scheme. I'm totally in.
Yeah.
And we got a little bit more of the pharmacist who gets way too little screen time.
He needs
much more screen time.
Yeah.
Because he's friggin' great.
Yeah. Especially when, like, Mateo goes up to him and basically he's like, can I buy some drugs? And he just wants antibiotics for an ear infection he has, which is how it started all this. And he's like, here's some expired amoxicillin. Oh, what's this? Is that an OxyContin or is that a Sweetheart? Pops in his mouth. Can't tell. A few seconds later. Oh, yeah. That's an Oxy.
That was an Oxy. Yeah.
Yeah. and then Glenn asked him first to look at his mole. And he's like, yeah, sure. I can do that. And then Glenn feels uncomfortable taking his pants off. So the pharmacist doesn't hesitate and drops trow. And then Glenn won't look at it. And now the pharmacist is offended that he won't look at his penis. So then when he finally does, Glenn's like, oh, there's something wrong. Yeah. Yeah, there is.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. It was great.
It was great. And then following right on the footsteps of that one, we had The Good Place, which
yep.
they were helping Janet deal more with her heartache over Jason that she didn't realize but then did realize. And Derek, I love Derek. I love Jason Mantzoukas anyway.
Me too.
But I love Derek as a character, the person that Janet created in like 30 seconds or something like that to be her boyfriend. And so he's simple and he has kind of a positive upbeat attitude, but at the same time, he's a moron. Like at one point he's in that tree and he's just like hanging out and breaking off branches and saying like, this is my home now. This is Derek's home. You can't come into Derek's home. It was just so well done. I loved it. I loved every minute of watching him try to be a real boy, essentially. And because like they were breaking up, you know, they had a fight. He's existed for like less than a day. It's been like a few hours that he has existed and they're already having a fight and don't want to live with each other anymore in the void. You know, she lives in a void and he says that part of it's his void too. You know, he carved out a chunk of it for himself. And so then she kicks him out of the void. It was so well done. And they basically had to help her get over the whole Jason thing. And realize that they kind of tried breaking up Jason and Tahani in order that Jason could get together with Janet. But like he says, he's like, I don't remember ever loving her. And it's true. You know, it's been, God, how many times? Thousands of times
yes.
they've reset?
Yes.
So.
Hundreds.
Yeah. So basically he doesn't remember that, but in the end, they find a way to work around it so that Janet can be herself and not keep malfunctioning.
Yep. And I like how Janet has to absorb Derek's essence back into herself, basically by making out with him.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
And then he's in the casket and he's still talking. Isn't he deactivated or dead? This is as dead as he can be.
Yeah. I hope we see him. He doesn't have to be in every episode, but I hope we see him pop up here and there.
I think it would be great. Yeah. I think it would be great. He's absolutely hilarious.
Yep.
Absolutely hilarious. Eleanor showed Chidi the tape of them having sex.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then talking about it after.
Yeah.
And basically, they're both kind of shocked. You know, he reveals that he's shocked about it, but he also reveals that he has no emotional feelings for her, but she clearly does.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because she watched the tape so many times. Who knows?
Right.
But at the end of the day, Michael returns to his office and finds Sean sitting there waiting with him with a stack of papers that were lead to believe are all the failed reboots.
Right. Yeah. Because basically it was like Michael says, okay, everything's fine. We're just going to keep going forward from here. Because they were like, why don't you just reset us? And then Jason won't remember that he's in love with Tahani and he can fall in love with Janet. And Michael's like, no, we've come this far. We've done all these reboots. Let's just do it. And he's like, everything's going to be fine from here on out. And then he opens it up. And yeah.
Which, you know what? That stack of paperwork could easily just as be employee evaluation time.
Yep.
Type of thing. Not all the reboots, but we'll find out.
Right.
It's a great show.
It is. It just keeps getting better and better. Between that one and Superstore, I look forward to all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Thursday nights are funny on NBC. But I saw a thing, and maybe it was wrong, but when I was doing my research for my notes for this, the next episode of Superstore listed is December 5th. So are they going on a hiatus for a month?
Oh, wow. Maybe.
I mean, obviously, my source, Wikipedia, could have been wrong. But
no.
I know. No. But I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yep.
We'll see. Let's see here. Oh, I caught up on Mr. Robot. Are you caught up?
Yes.
Okay. Good episodes?
Yep. The second one was okay. It wasn't bad, but it was a little boring. It was what happened to Terrell in the time missing. You know, we get to see it right from the moment that he went missing. We got to see why Elliot ended up in his SUV in that parking lot. We got to
It closed off a lot of, it answered a lot of questions.
Yes. Yeah, but we got to see a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff and a lot of him shirtless cutting wood.
Well, yeah, he's got to chop some wood.
Yeah. But basically, he was, like, in witness protection by the Dark Army.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's what it boiled down to.
Yeah. Especially after he... This was after he shot Elliot, right? Or does it lead up? No, it leads up to him shooting Elliot.
Yeah. He was in the cabin, and Elliot went to jail, and he was losing his mind. And
that's right. Okay, so it leads up to him shooting Elliot.
Yep.
And then we go to the next episode.
Yep.
Where we see a lot of. We see a lot more people. We see that, like, Elliot, not Elliot, the blonde girl, help me out here, Angela.
Yes.
We see that, like, prior to this season, we don't know that anybody else realizes that he's got this split personality going on.
Right.
And in this season, we're finding out that basically everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
Yeah. Everybody knows, because now we know Angela knows, Tyrell knows, his sister knows. Like, anyone that knows him knows. The FBI doesn't know, apparently.
Right.
But I thought, yeah, episode 4, the most recent episode, was definitely better of the two.
Yes. I love the new way that they're doing it, where they actually, like, will show you Elliot in one scene and then Christian Slater in the next one. Yes. It was always cool having the two of them on there and not knowing, but now that we know, it's so good to see them actually, like, swap them out. Like now Christian Slater's there and he's in charge.
It's like the scene where Christian Slater's in the room with Angela and Tyrell and they're talking about what's going on, and then for whatever reason, all of a sudden, Elliot pops back in.
Yeah.
And they realize it, and, like, Angela, like, knocks him out with some sort of injection.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I mean, like, we're seeing two different people. They're not. I mean,
they're just seeing Rami Malek all the time, but
they're
seeing that it is Jekyll and Hyde kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's really added a whole new... not atmosphere, a whole new element to the show.
Yes.
With how everyone knows who he is.
Yep.
You know, and I don't know. I love it. I think it's great. At the end of the episode, basically, Angela pulls some strings to get him fired from Evil Corp.
Dude, not just fired, but because they basically found out what he's been doing as Elliot and how he kind of screwed them over. And so she gets him fired. Like, she's like, I want him banned from every one of our buildings. I want him to, like, be escorted off the premises if he even shows up at a place. Like, she wants him washed.
Yeah. Completely washed and wiped.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was a plan that she came up with Mr. Robot, because then she walks in and he's like, what happened? And she's like, yeah, it'll be done. He's going to be gone. Good.
So the FBI, or whatever, they catch the F Society video people?
Yeah, that one guy.
The one guy, and yeah, I don't know. That's obviously a diversion.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because he, like, basically just put on the mask and got on his knees and put his hands behind his head like he was waiting for them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and he put the mask on it even. So. Yeah. And then what was he? So Tyrell still doesn't know that his wife is dead.
Right. That's right. I was like, wait, no, she's not. Yeah, she is. Yeah.
Yeah. She's dead. She got shot in the head and the baby is in DHS custody or something. He still doesn't know, 'cause he hasn't contacted them.
Yep.
Because they went over in the episode all about him hiding in the woods. Like, he got the divorce paperwork and he tries to escape and they catch him and bring him back and they kill a local cop and blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't know his wife is dead because he's looking for safe passage for his family.
Right.
To the Ukraine in this episode.
And Irving is just like, yep, okay.
And Irving knows that his wife is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's a great show. Good episodes.
Oh, really great.
Good episode 4. Episode 5's on tonight, Wednesday night, the 8th. So.
Yep. Looking forward to that.
I like the fact that Sam Esmail, the creator, I like the fact that he writes the majority of the shows, but he directs every episode, so it's all his vision.
Right.
I do enjoy that. You can definitely tell, like, when you're watching a show like, say, Supernatural, or even like used to be with the X-Files or whatever, you can definitely tell when it was jumping around from director to director and show to show and every, you know what I mean?
Yep.
The different writers, the different looks, the different feels, which can work for like episodic TV like that, where you have your Monsters of the Week and then your overall mythology episodes. But with Mr. Robot, where it's basically all mythology, I mean, yeah, all one storyline from beginning to end.
Right.
It works having the one guy do them all.
Exactly. So, yes.
Anywho. Yeah. So, big fan. I watched The Good Doctor. It's a good show, I guess. It's nothing to sing praises about.
Yep.
Or, you know, to want to sit here and talk about a lot. I watched The Middle.
Yep.
Again, it's kind of the same stare. Funny. This week's episode, everyone feels like they're underappreciated, and so they're all just going to stop what they do. And then in the end, you know, something happens to Grandma, so they all kind of band back together, back to how they were. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, that's kind of about it for me, TV-wise. I watched the Orville episode that involved the capital punishment with the likes and the dislikes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I watched that one. I get what you're saying. Yeah. I get what you're saying, like where they live in a society where people, your everyday interactions with the people and how the public perceives you based on if you've committed a crime.
Yeah. And again, I get what they were going for. I understand it. It is pertinent to today's culture. Just didn't feel like a typical Star Trek-y kind of thing. It kind of did, but kind of didn't.
Yeah, there's some very huge similarities between this episode and an episode of Black Mirror from last season.
My thought also, like, it was so easy for people to just walk up and poke you and be like, thumbs down.
Yeah.
What's to stop somebody from just, like, while you're sleeping, thumb down, 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 down?
Well, I don't know if you could – I mean, do you only get to vote one time?
I don't know. They didn't really, you know, talk about it. They didn't really explain that part of it. But people could just walk up and, like, meh, and that was it.
Yeah.
It did feel like – I could see that happening the way things go today, kind of.
Yeah. Well, it was like that episode of Black Mirror. They essentially had the same type of thing, you know. Like, at that place, you had more than 500,000, you know, downvotes, then you couldn't even – we wouldn't even serve you in here. I got a lot of those in my 20s. I'm different now. Like – I mean, it is all the ultimate showing how your actions when you're younger can affect, you know, what happens when you're older, I guess, you know, health-wise, drugs, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I see what you want. I didn't watch the most recent episode after that one, but I did watch that one.
Gotcha. So. Yeah, I haven't watched the most recent one either.
Yeah. But that kind of surmises it. I haven't watched Gotham. I don't know if I'm gonna.
Oh, I watched Gotham, and these were my notes that I wrote down. Professor Pig is dumb. Barbara is dumb. Yeah. Harvey is dumb. Penguin and his goons are dumb.
Yeah.
Those are my notes on the show.
Yeah, I'm 3 episodes behind. I'm not 100% convinced I'm going to try to catch up.
A lot of people are in the same boat. It's actually the ratings have dipped dramatically from what I understand.
Yeah. I guess the only other thing I want to talk about is that movie you and I went to.
So am I to assume that you did not watch any of Stand Against Evil?
I have not watched Stand Against Evil yet.
Okay. We will not talk about it then.
Yeah, I will. I haven't.
Yep.
I'll drop off my one bit of news. The Orville got renewed for season 2.
Yes. And to add to that, there were talks, and we're still not 100% sure, but Disney was in talks to buy Fox's entertainment branch, which would include their Marvel properties like X-Men and Deadpool. Last I'd heard, the talks were no longer going on. Like, both parties had stopped talking. Yep. Doesn't mean that it's not a, not going to happen. It just means that right now the talks are done. So we'll see. I'd love to see it. I really would. But
as would I. So anyhow, but yeah, we do have one thing to talk about.
Yes, speaking of Marvel.
This movie you and I went and saw the other day on Monday after training.
Yep.
And that was Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
And for those listening, this is the last thing we're going to talk about. If you don't want to hear about Thor, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. For those who have watched it or they want to hear about what we're going to talk about, continue on.
That's right.
I thought this was a great movie.
I did as well.
I
can't say that it was the greatest, but no, I thought that it was a great movie.
The Jeff Goldblum character didn't annoy me as much as I thought it would. It actually worked.
Yep.
You know, I based on the trailer, I figured like Thor was kind of captured early, and like it, the trailer was cool, but the progression of what happened in the movie was different than what I perceived was going to be happening from the trailer.
Yes.
You know, essentially right at the beginning of the flick, he is captured, comically so by, he's sitting in a cage talking to a skeleton. Like,
yep.
How long have you been here? Like, typical, like, kind of, he almost does like a monologue that catches us up to where we are.
Right.
Yep. From when we last saw him, yeah.
Because it's been 2 years since Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yes. Yes. That's the storyline. And he gets dropped down and he's faced off with, what's the character's name? The Fire God.
It was like Scars or something like Scarus. Yes.
Yeah. It's basically this creature made of fire that his you know, Thor's been having dreams of seeing him over a burning
Asgard.
And so that's why he came to stop him. And there's a big battle and he takes his crown.
Yep.
Takes it back to Asgard to put it in the vault.
Sorry, it's Surtur.
Surtur, yeah. And when Surtur's
by Clancy Brown, by the way.
Yes, and when Surtur's trying to unveil his plan to him, Thor's chained up and slowly turning in a circle. So every time he turns back to him, Thor's like, oh, hold on a second. Let me come back around now so I can see what you have to say. And they actually do that like two or three times.
Yep. He's like, I swear, I'm not even moving. It's just doing this on its own.
Yeah. And when Thor gets back to Asgard, he realizes that Loki is pretending to be Odin.
Yep.
Which we saw that in the last flick.
Yep.
And it was a scenario almost kind of like, ooh, I wonder how this is going to play out quickly and hilariously.
Yep.
When he gets back, everyone's grouped around Odin, who's sitting around in his robe, and he's watching a play of the fall of Loki and his death. And Loki's being played by Matt Damon. Thor is being played by Liam Hemsworth's brother.
Yep.
Which is hilarious. And then Sam Neill is playing Odin in it. And it's basically a very dramatic death scene of Loki. And then everyone celebrates. And then Thor forces Loki to reveal himself from Odin to be Loki and to in front of everybody. And then they head off to try to find him. And they go to New York City where they discover that the old age home that Loki put him in is now rubble.
Yep.
And then Doctor Strange shows up.
He does, and he kind of kidnaps Loki. Well, he doesn't really – he, like, portals him somewhere where he's been
– yeah, where later
falling
we find
for
out.
2 weeks or something.
He goes, I've been falling for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Which, that could suck. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, basically, Doctor Strange takes Thor in and is like, all right, well, your dad's here. I know where he is, but he didn't want me to tell you. He seemed adamant about staying in reclusion, but I'll tell you. And then there's some hilarity that gathers to he's in Norway. And we get – Loki comes back, of course, and then Loki and Thor are zapped to Norway by Doctor Strange, and then we don't see him again in the movie. And Odin basically says, you know, Elizabeth, I'm coming. And basically reveals that he's dying, he's about to die, and that they have a sister, and she's evil, and she's coming, and I exiled her and captured her because she's crazy and a powerful killer. And then, of course, the second Odin dies, a portal opens up and she appears. And Loki makes the horrendous mistake by telling, you know, them to portal them out of there. And, of course, she follows. Oh, I'm sorry. She breaks Thor's hammer.
Yeah, like smashes it.
Yeah, he throws it at her. She catches it and crumbles it. And it gets revealed later on, when we see later on, that she used to wield it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she was worthy at some point.
Exactly. Which kind of seems weird because she's pure evil.
Well, it's kind of like how in the early versions of the Bible, God was like all about vengeance and vindictiveness and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
and then he became like a good God, and he was like, oh no, we'll forgive people and we'll be peaceful. You know, she was just doing what Odin wanted, and back then they were conquerors. So it wasn't that she was evil per se, it was just that, you know, she was good at being bad.
But then he decided that he wanted to be good.
Yep.
And so she was like, no, I still want to be evil. Or he wanted to stop at 9 realms. She wanted to conquer everything. And so that's why he exiled her. And he sent the Valkyrie after her. And Valkyrie, all but one were destroyed. And we meet her later. But anyways, while they're in the rainbow tunnel heading back to Asgard, she throws both of them out of it.
Yep.
And they both end up...
Which was a cool visual, too, seeing it shatter like glass.
Yeah, it really was. And they both end up... well, what's the planet they end up on?
Oh, I don't remember the name of it. I called it the planet of the Junkions because that's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, I know. That was very funny. Anyway, so yeah, they end up where they end up. And the planet of the Junkions, whatever. And this is where we get the battle world, if you will. And this is where Thor is captured. And he's forced to fight like he's going to be a gladiator. And this is where we get Judge Reinhold. No. the hell's his name? I'm tired.
The Grandmaster?
Yeah, the Grandmaster.
Oh, Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum. I said his name earlier, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We get Jeff Goldblum's character, the Grandmaster, where he basically rules this world. And the big thing he does is that they fight. He has gladiators fight and it appeases everybody. It's like kind of a modern version of Roman times. But why does this planet have all this trash being dumped on them?
It seems like there are wormholes all over this planet basically what she was saying was it's kind of at a nexus point, like everything passes through here somehow. So it seems like it's garbage, like space garbage, debris, you know, wormholes are sucking stuff up constantly. So it would be like satellites or probes or spaceships that get lost. That was my impression of it.
But the thing is like, you have scavengers that are on where all the dump trash comes out, and they're cannibals.
Yep.
Like, they're starving, so they're cannibals. But then you have everyone watching the battles, so it doesn't – that's kind of weird in that respect. Like, they don't go into the class of the citizens very much in this, except that, you know – There's cannibals that want to eat Thor, and then the girl shows up and she's like, no, I'm going to take him because I can get paid money for him. And you know what I mean?
Yep.
And she just kills them all.
Yeah.
So a lot of people getting killed in this rather easily.
Yes. A lot of death.
But Thor is basically made to fight, and the only way he can get out – oh, and then we see Loki's there, but somehow Loki being Loki is not captured. He's in their good graces. He somehow seems to have some sort of title. He's been there for like 3 months already when Thor wasn't even there, before Thor even showed up, because of time there works wonky.
Yep.
So.
Excuse me.
And then they fight. I guess Thor is brought into the arena, and he turns out he's going to fight the Incredible Hulk because Banner apparently crashed there 2 years ago, but he's been the Hulk the entire time.
Right. The Hulk refuses to turn back into Banner.
Yeah, which I didn't realize he could do that, but I guess on this planet he can?
Maybe because of the way that time moves differently, I guess.
Because, like, I've always been, to me, like, in the movies and everything else, when the Hulk starts to calm down, that's when he becomes Banner.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyways, there's some hilarity. They fight. It's a good battle between the two of them. I'm a big fan of the Hulk.
It is. It goes back and forth pretty well. They go back and forth pretty well. You know, one's winning, then the other one's winning, and people are quite shocked at the fact that, you know, somebody's actually getting this far against the champion, because nobody's ever beaten the champion. They just end up dead, like Doug. And,
yeah,
you know, Thor is new Doug, because yeah, he's gonna be dead. And
but it turns out that the girl that captured Thor and is apparently friends with Hulk is the last surviving Valkyrie,
yeah,
of Asgard. And when Thor finds that out, he basically eventually talks her into helping him. So you have – and then Thor manages to get the probe off his neck that electrocutes him constantly. And he heads down and they find the Quinjet. And he's going to try to take off on the Quinjet to get to Asgard because he's got to stop his sister.
Right.
Who on Asgard is killing people left and right, proclaiming that she's the ruler, raising an army of the dead, sending the people of Asgard into hiding, trying to find the sword because Heimold came and took the sword, trying to find the sword that turns
Rainbow Road.
The Rainbow Road thing back on, so that way they can get places. So she's kind of trapped on Asgard, but she's cementing herself as the ruler and the leader there this whole time. And
the Bifrost, that's what it is. The Bifrost,
yeah.
Which leads to the Rainbow Road.
Yeah. So long and the short of it, Thor, when he gets to the Quinjet, accidentally plays a video of
Natasha.
All I could think of was Scarlet Witch, and it's not Scarlet Witch. But anyways, and when Hulk sees her, it's like, boom, he becomes Bruce Banner eventually.
Yeah.
And then now we have Bruce Banner, and he's kind of freaking out because he's been Hulk for 2 years, and he's on an alien planet, and he doesn't really know what's going on.
He's scared because if the Hulk was in control for 2 years, what's to stop him the next time he changes over from losing control again?
So he's afraid that he'll never get to become Banner again. So basically the Valkyrie, Thor, and Banner steal a ship and head off, and they start a revolution on the planet with the other captured soldiers and deactivate all their probes that electrocute them, gladiators that is, so they can do an uprising so that they can steal a ship and escape through the Devil's Anus.
Which is the name of that portal.
Which is the name of the biggest portal. So they can head to Asgard so that he can fight his sister.
Yep.
And Loki does something right, finally, when all the revolutionary people find Loki. And they're like, we're going to get on that big ship and get out of here. Do you want to go? And he's like, yes. And he leads them to Asgard and shows up at just the right time. And
There was a lot of that, too. People showing up at just the right time.
Big fights, big battle, big colorful, like, awesome-looking scenes, great soundtrack, great music. You know, Thor does what he needs to do to stop his sister.
Yep.
And Loki helps out, and the Valkyrie helps out, and someone gets retribution for being a bad guy, but he dies, so that's cool. And essentially, Asgard is leveled, but that's to stop his sister.
Right.
And Thor and the rest of the Asgards that are alive are all on this giant ship with the revolutionary people from the Junkion world, and they head off. And Thor is now, like, the king of the people. And there's a hilarious scene where there's this giant cat, wolf, whatever. Not a cat, it's a giant wolf. and no one can stop the wolf. And Banner's like, I know what I need to do. Don't worry, it's going to be okay. He goes, you'll see how you recognize me now. And he jumps out of the ship and he tries to turn into Hulk. But instead, he just freaking belly flop face plants on the fucking road.
He just looks like a corpse.
Yeah. And he's dead. He is dead. It is hilarious. And then, of course, he off screen, you know, he becomes the Hulk and then he battles this giant wolf and eventually destroys it. But yep. Oh my God, that was hilarious.
Yeah, just flop. And then just the corpse laying there like a rag doll.
Yeah. I mean, it was great. It was good stuff. And then the PS scene that we get after the midway through the credits is it basically looks like it's not Apophis. God, that's Stargate.
Wow.
God, why did my brain go there?
What the? Wow. I thought you were going to go with something out of DC or something.
No, dude. All I could think of was Apophis right now. What's the guy's name?
Thanos.
Thanos. God. Thanos' ship shows up. Which I guess goes to that.
We assume it's Thanos' ship.
We assume it's
his
ship.
Looks like it.
Because, yeah, they stop. Because they're heading to Earth. And this kind of plays into the beginning of the leaked footage of the Avengers Infinity Wars trailer, where you see Thor floating in space.
Yep.
So. We shall see.
Yep. It was a good movie.
Yeah, there was another PS at the end, and then, of course, at the end it says Thor will return in Avengers Infinity War. So.
Yep.
Yeah, I liked the flick a lot.
Yeah, it was quite enjoyable.
Yeah, it was. So, anyhow, I guess that's it for me. Is that it for you?
That's it for me.
Yeah, awesome. All right, cool. Well, I will I guess we'll talk to you next week. You can find me on the Twitter at SuperstarML.
Or me at The Quantum Geek, G33K.
And the show is at What Did You Watch? And the Facebook is What Did You Watch This Week? And thanks.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.